Yo, happy new year. Yo, I'm back. I was gone for a minute. I was in Nigeria doing my thing, but I am back in the building early. You're listening to the Urban Sports Scene. We're also part of Empire Media at empiremedia.com. Yo, I'm your host, Wole. I'm joined by a special co-host of the Washington Football Maniacs. It's a podcast. It's a podcast on YouTube, Brandon Scott. What's going on, Brandon? And welcome back. We had Brandon on earlier before. When he was locked on Wizards. Now he's with us talking Commanders. So what's going on? You're muted. All right, my bad. Say that, man. Brandon on mute. That's my bad. Go ahead, Brandon.
That's my bad, man. I'm doing good, man. How you doing, man?
I'm good, man. I was in Nigeria, and I was hearing all the news about the Commanders. Adam Peters. Yes, yeah. Now the GM for the Washington Commanders. So it's like everything's foreign to me, my man. Everything is foreign.
Yeah, man, new times in the DMV, man. A lot of changes with the Wiz and the Commanders, man.
Yeah, I see. Yeah, starting the Wizards too. You see, Wes Unseld Jr. out, like, but he's in the office though, so that's what's up.
Yeah, I mean, they call it a promotion, but I mean, we'll see, man. But I wish him well, man. We were kind of talking about it before, man, is that he had a crazy hand from the get-go, man. So, yeah. Really good guy, really easy to like guy, man. I definitely wish him well, man. But we'll see.
Yeah, we will see. The Wizards are on a rebuild. It is what it is. They're in a rebuild. Yeah. But this show is focused on the Washington Commanders. Just the Washington Commanders. It's a Washington Commanders special. But before we talk about the Commanders, let me get into the particulars. I'm going to talk about Empire Media. Empire Media hosts multiple DMV sports podcast shows, such as the John Kime Report, hosted by ESPN Washington Commanders insider John Kime, and Jones Football, hosted by USA Today insider Mike Jones. You subscribe to our podcast on Spotify. Spotify, Apple Podcasts, TuneIn, iHeartRadio. I can't say Google Podcasts. That's about to shut down, so I don't know what they're going to do with Google. Anyway, just search the Urban Sports Scene. Also, make sure you subscribe to the Urban Sports Scene on our Urban Sports Scene YouTube channel. Hit that red subscribe button and like this video. Don't forget to tweet us at Urban Sports Scene. Hit us up on IG at Urban Sports Scene and like our Urban Sports Scene Facebook page. Also, join our Urban Sports Scene Facebook group. Search Urban Sports Scene, sports bloggers, sports podcasters, and sports debates. Anyway, let's get into our tradition, the pregame. Here's what we have on tap. Sports Journey's Washington Commanders reporter Lake Lewis Jr. will join us to talk about the Commanders' possible head coach hire and much more. All right, I see my man is here. So I see my man Lake is in the building. So let me add him into this chat so we can talk about some Commanders. Right now, we have Sports Journey's Washington Commanders reporter Lake Lewis Jr. on the show. What's going on, Lake?
What's up, fellas? How you doing?
Good, man. Good to see you, man. I haven't seen you in a minute, man. So it's good to see my guy Lake.
Likewise.
My God. So, all right, Lake, I'm just get right into it. New GM Adam Peters and the Commanders brass are set to travel next week to meet Detroit Lions offensive coordinator Ben Johnson for a second interview. It looks like he's, the leader for this job for, reports and what fans want. What to you, what's his appeal?
I mean, he's one of these young guys that is an offensive mind. And with the way the game is going today, you got to have somebody that can be creative on the offensive side of the ball and not be, one dimensional. And, this guy is also a guy that likes to run the football, too. So, I think he has an appeal to Washington fans who want to see, more of a balanced setup as opposed to Sam Howell throwing 40 times a game. Yeah. So I think, he's had some success with Detroit. More importantly, let's look at what he's done with Jared Goff. Jared Goff was never, a bum. I think forget that he did go to the Super Bowl with the Rams.
I agree.
But I think since he's been in Detroit, you've seen him mature at the position, and you've seen him make plays. I mean, he's making plays for that Lions offense, and that's under Ben Johnson. So I think that's where a lot of people are excited about the potential of him being the team's coach.
Brandon, you got a question for Lake about that?
Yes, sir. You mentioned the offensive side of the ball. Look at the offensive side of the ball. Kind of like you mentioned quarterback. Mm-hmm. Now, with Ben Johnson coming in, you kind of mentioned Jared Goff coming over from L.A. Wasn't a bum, but kind of needed to find who he was as a quarterback. Looking at Sam Howell, is it a given right now they go quarterback in the draft, or do they kind of make, you know, kind of take an approach where we'll build an O-line, get some weapons around him, and see what he can do under a new regime?
See, you know, that's a great question, Brandon. You know, I think the issue right now with Sam Howell is it's not that he can't play quarterback in the league, because he played at a high level for a couple of weeks. You know, I think he had three straight 300-yard games. But the difference now is, you know, when you're bringing in new people, new GM, new coaches, they kind of want to get their guy. And you have to ask the question, picking number two, it's not like Washington's picking number nine and there may not be a top prospect quarterback-wise, but you have a chance to maybe, you know, luck up and get a Caleb Williams. But if not, you have Drake May and Jalen Daniels sitting right there at number two, and you have to ask yourself, are they better long-term prospects than Sam Howell is? And I think the answer to that, to me, is yes. You know, I'm a little leery on Drake May, but I think Jalen Daniels and Caleb Williams, definitely their ceilings are through the roof. And I think those two players, you know, really kind of fit the mold of what today's NFL looks like as far as quarterbacks with big arms that can move around. Drake May's not bad as far as moving around, too, but I'm just a little leery on having two North Carolina guys, even though the coach could be a North Carolina guy, too. So,
yeah.
Go ahead, Brandon. Go ahead.
No, I was going to say that, man, I've been a big fan of Jaden Daniels going with, you know, Arizona State. So I know that he could definitely play. You know, he can run, he can throw with accuracy. So, I mean, I think the biggest thing with the Commanders, man, is that they have options. We haven't always had options. You know what I mean? We kind of have what we have and we kind of deal with it. Now we have the options to kind of rebuild the team. So it's very exciting, man. But, you know, Sam Howell has the intangibles. Just to me, what the red flag was is he got worse as the season went by. Yeah. You know what I mean? And, you know, can he be a backup? Absolutely. And maybe he develops still. But again, we have options. So.
Yeah, I agree. I think Sam is the kind of guy that you can see if he has all the pieces around him, he could be really effective.
Yeah.
But, you know, I'm not saying that Sam can't ever progress to be more than that, because I think, you know, there was a time where I was saying that you can build with this guy.
Yeah.
I still feel like you can build with him, but it's just that when you have other prospects that not only can you build with them, but they can win games for you, you know, with their multi-dimension as far as what they do. Listen, man, I'm tired of looking up the road and seeing Lamar and seeing Patrick Mahomes and, you know, and let's just call it like it is, seeing minority quarterbacks, you know, I kind of want to see what it could look like. If they get this done right,
I'm about to end that too. Go ahead, Lake, finish.
because you know what was supposed to happen with Robert. Look, man.
This town be acting real different when the minorities quarterbacks, though.
Well, you know. Listen, one thing y'all know is I don't mince my words, and I'm really disappointed with a lot of the fans as far as the vitriol they have towards Caleb Williams. And I'm telling them to their face, you must be smoking something real good if you don't think that guy's a dog, if he's not a different generational talent. I don't think the kid Daniels is too far away from that. I really don't. Daniels reminds me a lot of, you know, let's just do this real quick. Because I was not to stray here.
Go ahead, bro.
Everyone's talking about Ben Johnson. And you guys know I've been pushing Mike McDaniel.
I'm kind of vibing that.
I'm sorry.
Same here.
I'm vibing him too. Go ahead.
And I say this for two reasons. If Mike McDonald were to come here, I can tell you right now who he might end up bringing in as an offensive coordinator. Yeah. It might be T. Martin. T. Martin's the quarterback's coach in Baltimore.
Yeah.
And if you were to draft Caleb Williams, if he's there, which we know he's probably not going to be.
Yeah.
So you have Daniels.
Yeah.
Okay. Jalen Daniels. Who does Jalen Daniels remind you of?
Yeah. I mean, that's everybody. I feel like that comparison. All right. So this is the thing. Everybody does this. Like, they do this. Like, to me, Lamar is a different animal. Like,
Lamar's
in Louisville, like, he Vic-ish. And I think that's different. I think everybody wants to be, like, he's the closest to Vic. Like, Vic was special, but he's the closest to Vic. Like, Daniels can run, but it's almost like that straight line speed like RG3 was. It's not like, to me, like that elusiveness. It ain't the same.
He's got a little bit more wiggle than Rob.
Like it's a little bit more, but it's not like it's a little different. Like
no, Lamar is just every time he hits the field, he's the best athlete on the field.
Exactly.
Period.
Exactly.
I don't think we'll ever say Jalen Daniels the best athlete. He might be one of the fastest.
Yeah.
But this is the thing. If you want the best of both worlds and you're crying for I want a pocket quarterback. Well, this guy can stay in the pocket and throw the football. But if he has to take off, he has enough speed to make a play.
Yeah.
And all I'm saying is that sometimes you have to look at people's body of work and what they're used to dealing with. Yeah. And then in the case of McDonald, uh-huh. you see what he's practicing against every day.
I agree. Yeah.
You know, that whole quarterback room is athletes, you know?
Yeah.
So you think about that. You think of a familiarity with something. And if you were to have a T. Martin come in, T. Martin's coached those three guys up there, you know, so he could tailor an offense similar to this guy's skill set, because that's the one thing that I, even if it is Ben Johnson, it looks as if they tailor what they do to the player's strengths, as opposed to what we've seen here for the longest time, where you're forcing these guys to do things that they have no business doing. So whoever they get, let's just call it like it is. Well, you know, too,
yeah,
we've been saying this forever. It's an upgrade.
It's an upgrade. It should be upgrade. Like my thing. So it's like it's funny because I'm always so. It's my first coach I wanted, because it's not Ben Johnson. I won't even lie to anybody. I'm not gonna lie to anybody over here. The first coach I wanted is Bobby Slowick. Bobby Slowick. It's like my first. But then I looked at what Mike McDonald did. Like when you look at his resume of like the people he shut down, it's amazing. Like every dude that you like, he shut down. Ben Johnson, he shut him down.
They didn't score.
You like Bobby Slowick? He shut him down. Yeah. So every your favorite dude, he shut down. The ones y'all come out here and clamor.
People.
Yeah, the ones y'all clamor for, he shut down. Yeah. So it's like, and you all like D'Amico Ryans a lot. Well, I mean,
he was a defensive coordinator.
Exactly. You like D'Amico. D'Amico a beast.
I don't want to hear. People keep saying, look, you know, you got to go offense. Look, I saw my guy Lou Riddick said the same thing the other day.
Yeah.
That's BS, man. That's garbage.
Yeah.
I want a guy that's going to make guys want to run out that tunnel and play for
There you go. There
and you go. At the end of the day, I want somebody that's coming from a winning outfit. And I don't know. No offense to Ben Johnson, because I think he's a great prospect.
Yeah.
But Detroit just started winning.
There you go.
The Ravens have been winning. and he came from Michigan before that.
Yeah.
So this guy's got both Harbaughs rubbed off on him.
Yeah.
He sees how they go about it. And when you look at that defense, he's taken some players that other teams didn't want, remember? Mm-hmm. I mean, say what you want about Roquan Smith. Chicago let him go. They got Detroit.
Clowney.
You look at Patrick Queen. I remember the talk of people saying Patrick Queen was a bust.
Yeah.
He's not the Patrick McQueen we saw in Miami in college. Mm-hmm. Well, look at him now. It's just coaching, man. You get the right person to come in and coach you and put you in the right positions. We remember Darby was in Washington a couple years ago. They didn't want to re-sign him. You know, I also look at
Clowney. Look at Clowney.
And everywhere, this is some of the best.
Exactly.
Oh yeah.
So again, it comes back to how you utilize your players. I mean, their second string safety is a Pro Bowl caliber player that Washington should take a look at. By the way, and I just want somebody that's coming from an outfit. Like when they hired Adam Peters, for me, that was the only GM prospect that I wanted them to go after, because I know for a fact from things that I've been told, he's really one of the guys that really was running some stuff out in San Francisco. And now it's his show here. I can assure you guys, this guy knows talent, and they're going to be a bigger team, and they're going to be much more physical than they've ever been. And that's not lip service. That's what he looks for. He looks for big guys that are physical and guys that are athletes. So it's just going to look like a totally different outfit. Again, you get your coach that they want. Anybody they bring in right now is an upgrade. I know I don't want Belichick. I know people are talking about that. I don't. I want them to get a young
Everybody wants money on. Go ahead.
Even
go ahead.
If you decide to stay with EB, I would live with that before you go with Belichick. I'm serious because I want hunger, man. I want guys that have waited their time and they're a little upset that they had to wait. And now they got the opportunity. So they're coming out to destroy feelings. And that's what I want.
I will say this, man. Like the Belichick thing, it's interesting. Well, I ain't gonna lie, I'm all about greatness. That's the thing. Like, I think Belichick, if he comes to the NFC East, he's automatically the best coach in the conference. And his teams will be automatically prepared. His team will be more prepared. That's just from my opinion about Belichick. Okay, I just feel like Belichick. So, I know my defense will be lit. This defense ain't been lit in years.
So let me ask you this.
Yeah.
Was he the best coach in the AFC?
Last year, I mean, if you take away his – I feel like he's still – I think he was still one of the better coaches. I just think that he had – the problem with him is that he just has to give – he has to let go. He has to let go of control of bringing in the people and he's – like the players. Like he
that's
can't
– That's never going to happen.
That's the thing. I think coaching his – coaching the players itself, like the like to me, that team wasn't super talented. But the way he coaches up that defense so they can compete shows you that he's still a good coach. His issue is the players that he picks. Like Jabril Peppers had his best year under Belichick. Jabril Peppers hasn't even been a real safety.
No, I have no problem with what he can do for a defense. He needs a quarterback to win.
Oh, I agree. That's what I'm saying. So to the point of like my thing is I don't – if you're talking to me about picking shopping for the groceries, he shouldn't shop for the groceries. Are you telling me coaching 53?
But see, that's 53? The problem. But that's the problem. He's not some guy that's wet behind the ears.
True, facts.
Boy, Martin said, brush smell like Similac. You know, he's not one of those guys.
Yeah, I got you.
He's a guy that, because of his history and what he's done, he's warranted the right to be able to pick and choose.
Oh, that's true. That's true.
The problem with that whole scenario, though, is if you're a young executive for a team that was looking for a coach, you're scared of bringing in Bill Belichick.
That's true.
Because now you don't have any say anymore. And so I do believe that he's kind of been, I don't want to say, blacklisted or
it anything. Seemed like it.
I think for a guy of that magnitude to be sitting out there and wants to coach and no one's got him, that tells me that there are people that are scared of the power that he could ultimately wield.
All right, what about Pete Carroll then? I'm not here, but I'm saying
I think Pete Carroll was good for Seattle. But let's face it, Pete Carroll's made some decisions as a coach to make you scratch your head. Marshall Lynch things, I'll never forget that.
Never, ever in my life.
And I just think he's older. And I just think that what D'Amico Ryans did this year with a rookie quarterback, not only did it make these old owners say to themselves, we got to get with the times. It helped minority coaches.
Sure.
It's helped, people think that you can win right away. There's no rebuild. Mm-hmm. It's helped people realize that you can win with a rookie quarterback. But more importantly, it's helped people realize if you do your due diligence, there's great young coaches out there. You just have to pull the trigger on one. And it's a copycat league. And unfortunately, the Belichicks and Carrolls are getting caught up in this right now.
I do agree with that. Before I let you go, I do want to say this about all right. So this is the argument I've always had about young coordinators. Everybody wants to have the next young coordinator, right? Like the next Sean McVay. Mm-hmm. I guess Kyle will be young. Kyle Shanahan, McDaniels. But I'm like, all the successful young dudes, for real, they come from one tree. Like they're not like the young offensive minded ones, not defensive minded ones. I feel that's a whole different argument. But offensive minded ones, they all come from one tree. Like we've seen sexy, for instance, if you told me is Josh McDaniels a good offensive coordinator? Yeah, he's a good offensive coordinator. He's just not a good head coach.
Yeah,
but he's not a good head coach at all.
But there's certain guys that buck the trend though, Kevin O'Connell, who we all thought should have been here.
Yeah, but on the same kind of tree, though.
But he was only up there in New England for 2 years. I mean, he played. Yeah. He was a third-string quarterback.
Yeah.
So, he was in the room with the GOAT. I get it.
Yeah.
But as far as just coaching the guy, we saw that here.
We saw it up close. Yeah, we saw it.
We saw it here. Remember, you saw Steven Sims break one last week, and I'm like, All these guys, and I'm looking at Bobby Slowick. I'm looking at all these guys. I saw Antoine Randall L, man, you know, on the sideline. He's the wide receivers coach for the Lions.
Yep.
Leonard Hankerson is the wide receivers coach for the 49ers.
Are you serious? I didn't know that.
Yes.
Yeah, I didn't know that either.
So you all these old guys here and stuff like that. And to answer your question, yeah, Hankerson's going to be a prospect one day. He's coming from Chan Street. I get it. But if that's the case, that tree's been successful. And
that's what I'm saying. It's a freaking amazing tree.
No offense. To me, though, I don't know. I look at stuff the way you do, Wole, in this sense. We're competitors. Brandon, competitor. I get it. All I know is everybody talking about these young offensive geniuses. And I'm saying that guy up in Baltimore.
I agree with you. I agree with you.
Yeah.
No, I agree with you. I totally agree with you.
Slow them down. They didn't score.
No, he shuts them down. No, that's my thing. Like, that statement is more comparing Bobby Slowick to Ben Johnson. Mm-hmm. Because I feel like they're obsessed with what the Lions are doing and doing a great job, but also like there are certain things to how they built that team. So that's more offensive coordinator and also their GM and how they built that. They have one of the best offensive lines of football. He comes into Washington and they got a coach who's an aggressive, who's all about that physical style. You come to Washington, it's still granted, like it's not, he's going to have to build it up from with Adam Peters, obviously, but they're going to have to build that offensive line. It's not going to be the same situation, right? That's what I'm saying. Like, so, to your point, like, all right, we draft a quarterback this year with Ben Johnson. Say Ben Johnson's the coach. They draft a quarterback. But really, truth be told, if you really want to know, to me, in my opinion, what makes this offense dynamic is, all right, it's the big uglies up front. And you got dudes out there who are warranted to be the number two pick at offensive line. And you can the kid from North Carolina, I mean Notre Dame, and also from Penn State. So you got dudes. I know we are.
I got you. You're
Nigerian too, but it's all good. it's all good. But yeah, so I'm saying those dudes for real, if you're telling me Ben Johnson coming here, I'm like, offensive line is something that kind of made his offense rock.
Yeah.
Be able to run the football. Jared Goff having time in the pocket. You watch some Detroit Lions games, Jared Goff has time in the pocket. Yeah. If you don't tackle that O-line, Ben Johnson ain't going to be the same dude. And I will add this for fans who keep saying, well, you can get him in free agency. Dudes, you cannot. Dudes, ladies, if you are a Redskins Commanders fan, you don't find all-world left tackles out there in free agency. Teams wrap them dudes up.
Left tackles, and traditionally.
Yeah, traditionally.
Same team
for as long as they can. So my question to you, Lake, is for real, like, should that tackle, if you do get a Ben Johnson, can you see them saying, you know what, we need a quarterback, but I know I need to anchor my line and I want that balance with the big uglies out there.
Yeah, my thing is if you can't somehow find a way to get Caleb, you take a tackle. And you know, if they take Daniels or May, that's fine. But I'm not sure. You know, they may take those guys and think Howell's still the starter and they those guys develop.
Yeah.
I don't have time for that after what I saw with CJ Straub. So my thing is it give me an offensive lineman, and then you can see what Sam Howell can do with some adequate guys up front. Mm-hmm. That's a year assessing him because you do have talent in other positions. True. But the other thing that I will say is that you're right. The GM in Detroit hit on some things like the Jahmyr Gibbs. I remember when they took him
for
summary from the Bears as a free agent. You see why now. And then you see a guy like Amon-Ra St. Brown. I'm not calling out anybody, but Dami Brown and him were right there. And
exactly.
So again,
the tight end too, Lake. The tight end, the hit on the tight end.
LaPorta. You can't. Oh, I'm gonna say this too. The safety from Notre Dame and Baltimore.
Oh my God, Hamilton.
Yeah,
bro, I wanted him.
You're a bad football team. Yeah. You can't miss on that stuff.
You can't
because that sets you back 3-4 years. And what have we seen the last 3-4 years? Mm-hmm. Setbacks. So there we go.
Nah, I'm with you, Lake. I'm totally with you. Hey, Lake, man, thanks for being on, my man. Before I let you go, is there anything you want to add? You want to plug?
Man, I gotta some big news, but I cannot say it right now.
Okay,
but I'm gonna tell you, it's gonna set us all up. And
all right, bro, I'm excited
about it. And we've been working for a while. So, but yeah, just follow me on social media, Lake Lewis on Twitter and Lake Lewis Jr. on Instagram. Go to sportsjourney.com. You can see some stuff there. But just you'll see, and it's gonna open some miles.
Yeah, man, Lake always doing big things, man. Hey, Lake, man, appreciate you being on, my man. Definitely,
yes, sir.
Appreciate you guys. Good seeing you, Brandon. Right, take care.
Yes, sir.
All right, take care, all Lake. Right. All right, man. That's my guy, Lake Lewis. Make sure you follow him on X. It's X now. At Lake Lewis, you know what I mean? On Instagram, at Lake Lewis Jr. All right, Brandon, I'm going to ask you, you know, since Lake's gone, we can chop up a little bit more. So I asked Lake, who is his preference? Who is your preference for Washington's head coach? Is it Ben Johnson too?
Yeah, Ben Johnson was my go-to, man. But I'll say this, man. McDonald. I'm starting to warm up the idea of him being head coach, man. Mm-hmm. And even Slovic, man. Slovic, man, was a guy that I'm kind of looking at. I wouldn't be disappointed if he was head coach. But and I say this all the time, man. We have options. Like, you know what I mean? Like, we have the option to go out here and find the right pieces, man, where we didn't always have that, man. So I think that's the biggest thing for me is we have a peace of mind and knowing that we have a legit general manager in the office now where you can go out there and find the personnel to fit the system. And that if you, in concert with the right coach, man, we could build something special, man. And that is, you know, 20 plus years under Dan Snyder just shows you this how bad, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, I know.
It's a breath of fresh air with Josh Harris, man. It's,
yeah. You feel good. You feel good about it. So we had the poll. We had this poll on our Urban Sports Team X account say, who do you want to be the next Commanders head coach? 79% said Ben Johnson, 4% Bobby Slowick. 17% McDonald, Mike McDonald, and 0% Bill Belichick. People hate Bill Belichick. It's crazy. I'm sorry. I'm one of them. I ain't gonna hold you. I ain't ignoring Super Bowls, man. I just can't do it. Yeah. Like, it's hard for me to do it, man. Like, I know the issue to me is like if you tell me New England talent is bad, but I think that again, that's Bill Belichick, in the front office, that you know, because he's picking it. But if you told me like what he's coached up to be competitive with that talent, with the players he has on his team, like there's no way they should be competing with Buffalo sometimes or in certain games. Yeah. I know they're division rivals, but there's no way the teams he beats with that piss poor team. And I mean, like that to me is like, all right, you can coach. Like to have Mac Brown, like for you to choose Mac Brown as your quarterback was trash. Like I said that already. Yeah. I don't know what you was doing. Like as a GM, but as a coach, I feel like Bill Belichick, if you take that power away from him, like him shopping and picking the groceries, then I feel like you can have him when you could have a Bill Belichick coach who's can dominate, who can win you a lot of football games, to be honest with you, a lot of football games. But I get it. Like, I understand people want something young. Bill Belichick, old, he's not personable. You don't want, you know, a press conference. People be like people would hate having Bill Belichick in town. Like, I understand. Like, I know why people don't want Bill Belichick. But I mean, it's hard for me to ignore greatness. I don't take great. Like, well, for instance, when Coach Gibbs came back, 2.0 came back, like I was excited. You know what I'm saying? Oh, yeah. Like I was excited because I get it. Like, you know, because he's a champion, and not because I have a bias. I think he's like Jesus, but it's just like I have a bias for greatness. If you told me, like Pete Carroll, like yeah, he messed up with, like he messed up against, like obviously Marshawn and Super Bowl, but Pete Carroll to me, people play for him. That's what I look at. And I say people play for him. They don't matter how young they are, how old they are. He's so energetic for an old dude that they play for him. So I wouldn't mind. And he's a champion. He always competes, regardless of the fact he always competes. So I don't have an issue with old coaches like everybody else. Cause I know everybody, but everybody wants the young coach as a dynasty. I'm just hope they pick the right young dude. That's all. Like, because I get real scared. Like, for instance, I'll use an example. Carolina picked a dude from Tampa. I don't even know what that dude ain't that impressive to me. But because
I'm with you.
Geno and Baker, good years. Like now they think he can be a good head coach. And he might. I'm not gonna like say he won't, but coaches like that, I don't trust, like for real. And it's just because to me, the young coaches. And I mean this, and maybe I could be forgetting somebody, but I feel like all these young dudes, these offensive-minded dudes come because they breathe Shanahan air. Like, I don't know what it is. They breathe that air. Like, I don't care. They've been around him. So I feel like when you are around him, it's just a trickle down effect that you're going to be successful. I feel like if you do the odds, the hit rate on them dudes is bigger than anything. Like, there's nothing, there's no tree. I'm talking about just wins. A win.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
It is nothing big. And so when you put like a Ben Johnson out there, dude came from North Carolina, He's gonna do a good job. But it's like, yeah, you may like it, but there's so many different entities that make it look good. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like Bobby Slowick, what he did with a rookie quarterback is more impressive to me than what Ben Johnson did with Jared Goff and that Detroit Lions offense. To me, why?
Yeah. Because
there are more weapons, and people can make out there are way more weapons on that Detroit Lions offense compared to the Houston Texans with a rookie quarterback. And I'll add this too. We've seen in a Kyle, Mike, whoever system that they make life so much easier for a rookie quarterback.
Yeah.
Purdy is like, if Purdy was somewhere else, he'd be garbage. But Purdy in San Francisco is amazing. Like CJ Stroud is super talented, super good. But being with Bobby Slowick, he's making his life so much easier that you see all the talents of CJ Stroud right there. You know what I mean? So for me, I'm always like, if you want to, this is my thing. If you want a rookie quarterback to put up awesome numbers, if this is what you want, that you're better off going with Bobby Slowick. If you want to, like, to me, if you want balance and you just want to kind of, you know, run an offense and see where it goes in 2-3 years, and it may be better in 2-3 years. I'm not going to get it twisted.
Yeah.
Like, if you're not looking for that instant gratification, then you're good with Ben Johnson. That's my opinion. Like, if you think you have an opportunity with a rookie quarterback to maybe do something special, I think off the rip, you go with Bobby Slowick.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. I mean, you brought up a good point, man, is that a coach is only as good as his assistant coaches, man. And, you know, and in his position coaches. Because if you look at Washington, how much talent did we let walk away who are head coaches now? LaFleur, Shanahan, man. I mean, McDaniels. I mean, the list goes on. We've had so much talent come through the building. And now they went out and they're successful head coaches.
Yeah,
and then you also mentioned – oh, yeah, absolutely. And you mentioned fit. I mean, Belichick, the biggest thing with Belichick with his success was – and I agree with you. I think you need to put respect on his name. But then, you know, you look at Belichick and Cleveland. Then he wasn't very – you know, it wasn't the greatest moments, right? And then under – you know, with Drew Bledsoe, you know, they were kind of on, you know, on the fringe. But they found the perfect quarterback for the right system.
Yeah.
And it just fit right, man.
True.
And there's another player I'm looking at is – Oh man, I just thought about it, man. played for the Rams for the longest, man.
Not Kurt.
Yep, Kurt Warner.
Yeah.
Now, perfect system in St. Louis, man.
Well, he's a
but then he went to the Giants, and he wasn't looking too shady. I mean, but then he went to Arizona, where they mirrored a lot of what they did in St. Louis.
Yeah.
It's all about the right fit, man. And your coach is only as good as his assistant coaches. Look, you know, they hate to walk away from football a little bit, but I mean, even if you look at Western Sale Jr., look at the coach he had behind him. That's why that transition, that decision was so easy to make, because you got a couple coaches in Brian Keefe and David Vanderpool who can step up and be that guy. So, you know, I think the biggest thing to look at as far as, if they go with a young coach, find the right pieces behind him.
I agree.
Help him succeed. So,
yeah, because similar to, I'm about to trash Kurt Warner. I did that once. I think I got, he came at me on X way back.
Did he?
Because I was mad. I was like, dude, you know, you got to Hall of Fame. Randall Cunningham did just as much as you. And why you? Because you got a Super Bowl. Because you played with him. I fried this. I was so angry. I was like, I was hating. I guess. I was like, bro, the only reason you went to the Hall of Fame because you played with Torrey Holt, Isaac King. I mean, Torrey Holt, Isaac Bruce, and Marshall Faulk. And then you look bad with the Giants. And then you got with Larry Fitzgerald and Anquan Boldin. Of course you're going to look good. You ain't good without two number ones. Like that's what I was, and then I was like, but Randall Cunningham had to carry a whole team, and he can't make the Hall of Fame, but you did. Then he responded like, "Why you got to mention somebody else?" When you, I was like, "All right, dude, you got it. I ain't your feelings were hurt."
But back, I mean, you got a point.
Yeah,
you got a point. I mean, I ain't gonna lie to you. You got a point. I mean, look at the talent he had around him, man. I mean, Torrey Holt and Isaac. Oh man.
Yeah, like then there's a reason. I always say there's a reason why he looked bad with the Giants, like because he went from one ideal situation. Because nobody has, you rarely have two number ones. So he had, and you had Marshall Faulk with that. And then you go to another situation, you have two number ones in Arizona with Anquan Boldin and Larry Fitzgerald. Like, dude, of course you're going to put up numbers. You should. Like, if you don't put up numbers with them dudes, you're a bad quarterback. So
I'm going to throw another name at you, man. Phil Jackson, NBA.
Same now, thing. I agree.
Eddie, thank you. And I've said that for years. I said, man.
Like, he can only coach the best players ever.
You went from the Chicago Bulls, man, yeah, to the Lakers. Then yeah, you took a break when they weren't that good, came back. Yeah. When he had Paul Gasol, so yes, you know, he's, yeah, I'm with you.
He's, I feel like people, yeah, that's a whole, I'm with you. Yes, that it gets me, but yeah, I agree with you. It's the same thing that I've said for Washington. It's just Washington, whoever they bring in, I think this is the most important thing that fans need to recognize. They got to treat it like how the Rams treated Sean McVay. I know everybody thinks that Sean McVay was like awesome off, he was, you know, he's just this amazing coach, but he went to the right organization. So as soon as he got, so the Rams sucked the year before, but as soon as he got there, they made all of these moves to make life easy for him. I think they brought in Sammy Watkins Jr.
Yeah.
They traded in for, so they had like, they were set a wide receiver because they brought another wide receiver. I can't think of the person. Then they built the defense. Then you saw they brought in, what's my guy? Dominic Sue.
Yep.
They brought in Dominic Sue to pair with Aaron Donald. They brought in like corner. I think Peters was there at the time. They brought in Peters.
Yeah, Marcus Peters. Yeah.
Marcus Peters. I mean, the year after that, they brought in Ramsey. They brought in Ramsey. So they didn't just give him a team to rebuild. They didn't give him a rebuilding team. They gave him a team and gave him star players to say, you know what? Now go ahead, rock. We give him, you already got Gurley. Now we've added talent for you to win football games. It wasn't like, all right, we rebuilding. You're here, rebuild. It wasn't a rebuild. It was okay. You're good. Like, you got a great offensive mind. We're gonna make life easy for you. We're gonna put the bag on any player we can get a free agency, any trade we can make. We're gonna make life easy for you so you can be one of them dudes. I mean, they had Woods. Yeah, but they already had Woods. So yeah, they had a bunch of talent, and they drafted well. I think that Cooper Kupp came that year. So they pushed in the chips. So they were different. Like, you know what I'm saying? They were different. It wasn't like coming into a situation where you really got to start over. And you, like, for instance, it wasn't a situation like Carolina. Like Carolina, where they are now. Like, you get nothing. Just work with this. You know what I'm saying? Like how Carolina treated Bryce Young, he ain't getting that situation. Like, even though he's a coach, it's different in a way. But he didn't get that situation. They gave him weapons and everything to work with. So whoever Washington brings in, depending on who they bring in, to be real with you,
yeah,
they're going to have to really kill it in free agency, not just a draft. Like, they're gonna have to make moves in the offseason to make life easy. If you don't make life easy, depending who, like, all right, for instance, if it's Ben Johnson, you're gonna have to make life easy if you want success off year one. Yeah. You're gonna have to make, because there's nothing in terms of his body, what he's working with in Detroit.
Mm-hmm.
You can make the argument say he has talent to work with to make him look for his offense to work.
Oh yeah, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, he has an old line where his quarterback has time. He has a running game. Like, granted, Washington has Brian Robinson who can run the football, but they have Detroit arguably has maybe behind the Eagles the best offensive line.
And that's where it starts. Is the old line
starts?
And that's what people don't realize is that if you look at the Skins in the Super Bowl run, we didn't have a franchise quarterback.
We had a great offensive line. Any of
those Super Bowls, we had an offensive line. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, you brought up a good point, is that they're going to have to hit in free agency. Because number one, you got to go get a middle linebacker. Because we missed London Fletcher, man. I mean, when London Fletcher was in D.C., he was the quarterback, the leader of the defense. We had no leadership on the defense. Mm-hmm. People just kind of do whatever they want to do. And Darrell's trying to do what he can, but nobody was listening to him. So there was no leadership behind on the defensive side. So go get a middle linebacker who can call the plays. Lockdown corner. We need a lockdown corner because Manuel Forrest, we don't know where we got him. Fuller, he's gone. I mean, St. Juice, we'll see. He's trash. Yeah,
I'll say it.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. He is trash because, I mean, you make one tackle, you out here doing your little thing, man.
Bro, like, he make one stop. All he do is grab, like, he get beat a lot, so he grabs and holds. Like, he does. Look, we don't got to stop. We got to stop complaining like he don't do it. He be doing it. He does it every game. He's a pass interference dude. He's a defensive holding pass interference dude. It is what it is. All right.
We definitely got to hit in free agency, bro. I mean, we'd have to shut down corner and middle linebacker are big pieces. Looking at defensive line, man, I for one am willing to give one of the spots to KJ Henry. I want to see what he can do for a year, and then you'll spend money on the other side. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think he can do something, man.
He's, I mean, go ahead. I'm going to keep continuing.
I mean, you know, fill the other spot. I mean, we'll see what we have with Jonathan Allen. I mean, because I think this might be something to that, man. I mean, you know, he's not happy. I know there's reports that, you know, the organization talked to him, and you know, but we'll see. But you know what I mean? Because I like Jonathan Allen, man.
It's,
I mean,
like, actually, everybody will get rid of Jonathan Allen. It's funny to me. No, I mean, it's funny how people, no, because I'm with you. Like, if you could trade him, if he's really unhappy, then trade him, I guess, right? But you trade him for, don't just trade him to trade him. Trade him for something that's valuable. Don't just trade him to trade him.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean? But I mean, I'm like, yeah. we as a fan, it's amazing how, not you, I'm not talking about you, but it's amazing how, like, I look on X and like the, like how folks have just turned on Jonathan Allen. I'm like, first he was like one of the captains. He's one of them. He's a leader, man. He's this. Man, trade him. Man. He already was complaining. And I will say this for Jonathan Allen, because to be fair to him, like, and I think people don't really call it out often. Like, he was playing with plantar fasciitis, and that is something hard to play with. Absolutely. And I think people ignore and think, like, he still should put up numbers. You're not – you need to rest and put no weight on that thing. And I think next season, like, you'll get the real Jonathan Allen. Like, I agree with – I think you'll get the real Jonathan Allen. So I think if you're mad at his – production this season, just know he's playing with an injury that was hard to play with. But if you're just sick of him coming out and just complaining all the time, all right, you're sick of it. I mean, but you're the same folks that loved it, like,
yeah,
in, like, exactly. 3-4 years ago, like, y'all loved it. Exactly. Y'all was like, oh, he shows fire, and now you hate it. I just get annoyed. I ain't gonna lie. I just think people here in this fan base, it's just not the fan base I grew up with. I'm old and I'm 42.
Oh, man. I'm with you. I'm 42. I'm about to hit 40, man. So I'm with you.
So you, so you're like around. So, you know, like, I'm just not. I grew up, like, we've had some bad football teams. It's never been to a point where how people feel. And I mean, maybe it's social media being in the mix now that I'm kind of seeing it this way.
Yeah, that's what it is.
It is. Like, people are so, like, they're so angry and they're so hateful when they go at these players. I'm like, dog, like, we would never like that back in the day. It was just like, all right, man, like, yeah, you may not like a player, but you weren't so blinded and just so, like, ignorant to certain things.
Yeah, you know what it is, though? Mm-hmm. Social media, and I hate to get deep about it, man, but social media has taken away the personification of contact between humans, man. Because like I said, I grew up in VA, man, and I went to high school for a couple of years because of zoning. In Ashburn, Stonebridge, which is where Jonathan Allen went to high school. You know, when you grow up in Northern VA, man, you see players all the time. Like, I had a girlfriend that lived near James Trash. So he used to play ball, and he'd be over there. I mean, Michael Westbrook, you know, Steven Davis. I mean, you meet these guys, you know. Yeah. And when I first got out the Army, man, and I worked for FedEx, I used to deliver stuff to Skins players all the time because they get the shoes and stuff through. And so, you know, I mean, it was a personal level to the connection to the Skins or the Commanders that you really didn't see with the Wizards or the Nationals. It was a personal connection to the community. You know, with social media, you lost that connection. And now people feel like they can say whatever they want to say.
That's
what
they want to say, man. Good God.
And they're hateful, man. And I'm with you. You know, Jonathan Allen, I think he's a dog. You know, sometimes the complaining, I get it, you know, but it's not enough to really drive me away because he's a dog. He can perform at a high level. And so people are, you know,
too much. It's just too much to me. It's like, all right, this is my life. This is how I view things. Like, I don't never go over the top. Like, I may be like, man, this dude is annoying. He trash. I may say something like that to a certain extent. Like, I ain't going to at nobody because I feel like that's just ignorant. I used to do that when I was younger, but I don't do that crap no more. I feel like I thought about, like, dude, what are you doing that for? Like, you clout chasing? Yeah. Like, I just used these, like, really literally just had to, like, talk to myself. I did it to Donnell Dockett, almost had, like, a whole different thing. But, now, like, I'm acting stupid. But, but then it was like, when people, like, they go over the top. I saw one dude went over the top on Cam Curl.
Yeah.
It was bad. And to a point that Cam Curl called him out on the joint. And then dude then came back and apologized. Like I was being it. And I was like, what? Like, dude. Yeah. Like, you shouldn't even have went on him like that. But being if you, like, stand on your word. Because I'm a believer in this, dog. Like, I ain't going – this is how I am on social media now. Like, I ain't going to say nothing disrespectful to you. If I can't see your face.
I feel like if you're going to add somebody, use it strategically. I'm going to tell you how. I'm going to tell you why. Because last year, man, Chris Miller, play-by-play announcer for the Wizards.
I know exactly.
And he's a good dude, man. I have a good relationship with him, man. And he had made comments about how he didn't like how fans wanted them to tank. And so
I remember that.
For the episode, we said at Chris Miller, and then he came on the episode Locked the Wizards, and kind of developed a relationship. But you gotta be strategic, man, because that's a way to kind of get attention to people.
Yeah,
but,
no, I get that.
But
get
you
that.
Can do that without being disrespectful.
That's what I'm saying. That is what I'm saying.
Because when I approached Chris Miller, man, it was like, look, my thing was he's got a hard job, you know, working for Monumental Sports. You can't really say what you want to say, for people to cover the team in other avenues, we can go out here and say things about, you know, because I went hard after people last year, man. I went after Brad, even though I like Brad, but I went after Brad heavy.
I go at Brad all the time.
I went after everybody, bro. I mean, I went after the ownership, the whole nine, man. So everybody got the smoke, but it's all about how you do it, man. If the smoke is within the parameters of what we're covering, like sports, when you get personal, man, that's why.
That's where I like stop it at. Like it's personal. Like a lot of people get overly personal. And like, I ain't here to mess up with nobody's money. I ain't here to talk about that. Ain't my thing. No, I think I'm with you. It's strategic. If you're gonna do that, be strategic. You know, you can act. All right, this is my thing. You could disagree with somebody. Mm-hmm. You can have an issue with somebody's play, but just don't be personal about it. I mean, there's ways you can go about it. Like even Chris Miller. I disagree with like a lot of things that certain players or pundits or whatever they say, but I'll be like, yeah, I don't feel that like. But I ain't going at you and calling you a cornball or whatever. I'm just saying, like, I don't agree with it. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't agree with it.
I did call the owner of the Washington Wizards cornball.
But that's different, though. He owned it. The owners don't count. Yeah, I'm sorry. Owners don't count. No, I'm sorry. Owners don't count.
Yeah, I mean, that was the one time I did, man.
Because owners are assholes. No, they don't count. Because owners are assholes. So they don't count.
But like you said, at the end of the conversation, it should be all love.
Yeah,
and with Chris Miller, man, it was all love. It was just you know, we all had different perspectives, but we could come together and we could chop it up. And at the end of the day, it's all love, man. You know, and that's where it used to be, is where, you know, in sports, there used to be a time where we all had different views, but we can come together and we could talk about it and be like, all right, man, this is why I like this dude. Oh, you know, I like this, you know, this. But now it's like, with people, man, they get hateful. I mean, dude, we covered Denny Avia. And obviously he's an Israeli player. We get a lot of viewers from Israel, man.
And
99.9% of them are, look, they like ball. We can chop it up, talk ball. Yeah. There's a small percentage where it's like, man, somebody called me a racist because I said he needed to learn how to use his left hand. And I'm like, what are we talking about, man? Like, what are we doing?
That's a fact. That's a factual statement. Still does. I don't get it. He's a
consistent 3-point shot. I don't know. Understand what the problem is, man. It's
I agree.
So people, the way they're wound way too tight, man. And I agree.
I had a dude like literally, like I had the dumbest conversation about the Commanders on Twitter about this one dude. I'm like, and folks always tell me to stop addressing trolls, but I can't help it. Like my personality.
I like to give it to trolls.
I do. I like, because I feel like they stupid. Now, you know what I mean? I feel like people are stupid. Like, you keep egging it on. Like, if we disagree, I always, in my statement, I agree to disagree, right? But when you're trying to be ignorant, then I like to go a little bit further than that. So I had one dude, I don't know what we talking about. I'm trying to figure out what we talking about. It was about a quarterback. I don't forget what it was. Because he made no sense. Oh, damn, I should pull up the tweet. It was so dumb. Because he was trying to call me like, you're not talking facts. And I'm like, bro, I just said, oh my God, it's about a player in a different, it's about, was it a rookie? I can't think it was a rookie, one of the few players in the draft or something. But yeah. I was telling him, when so-and-so was in this situation, they didn't play, like, what did they do in this situation? And this person, like, didn't answer my question. But he kept saying that, when this player, I was like, bro, you're not answering my question. Like, answer my question. He was like, well, you don't have any facts. You're not talking on facts. Bro, I asked you a question. Answer my question. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, and it gets to a point, I'm sitting here like, then he was like, you stupid, man. You're a cool, like, blah, blah, blah. Keep cursing. I'm like, bro. I said, bro, I'm not an internet gangster. I don't do internet gangster stuff. So, like, I'm not going to entertain you. I know you wouldn't say this in my face. You know what I'm saying? I see your picture. You wouldn't say this in my face. I ain't worried about you. Like, blah, blah, blah. It's internet gangsters. I don't play with internet gangsters. And he was like, look, I'm under your skin. I'm getting under your skin. Still talk about facts. I'm like, bro. Like, look. Then I was like, you know what? I'm going to quote tweet one of your, like, what did you're saying about it? And I'm going to put it out there for everybody to see it. And I'm like, bro, this dude talking about I ain't spitting fast, but this dude ain't answering no questions. And what am I saying? It's not clear.
Yeah.
Everybody was like, this dude is a this dude, don't worry about the troll. He's stupid, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, then the dude was like, I ain't worried about what you, I'm not embarrassed that you put my coat over there. I said, bro, you know what? I like you so much. I'm gonna give you a follow because I see you desperately in need of follow. I'm gonna follow you. Like that's how I was like, I follow. So I'm gonna follow you because I look, you can say all the hateful stuff for you, but you know what? I'm gonna bless your day today. I'm gonna give you the attention that you want. I'm gonna follow you and I'm gonna pay attention to everything you put out there.
I do the same thing, man. You know what kills me is when somebody will comment on your show.
Yeah.
And it's like you took the time to watch it.
Yes.
And to respond. If you don't like what I'm talking about, don't watch it, man. Like watch it. You took the time to watch it. I force you. You know, so the trolls are strong out here, man.
They're strong, man. They own one, man. I'm telling you, these trolls out there, man. So I mean, like, all I'm saying is like the Commanders. Whoever they get, you know what I'm saying? Like, this is my thing. There's certain players I don't want them to – there's certain people I don't want them to get. Like, I'll say it. I don't want to be a black quarterback. It's not even being racist because I just feel like this town turns on black quarterbacks. It is what it is. I know what I said. Yeah, like, right now, like, y'all, like, it is what it is. Like you could say – or I don't trust them treating the hometown kid good. That's why I'm glad that the Bears are – in line to get Caleb because it looks like he's gonna get Caleb more than Jaden. No way, I'm gonna take that back. I'm gonna take my statement back. I'm just glad that Caleb's not coming here.
Yeah,
because I feel like there's a combination of a lot of factors that I don't want Caleb to come here because I feel like playing home, if he struggles, the negative stuff. I don't like the negative stuff that I'm hearing about Caleb because it says, like, you know, anytime you talk about people call. I get real iffy when you talk about a black quarterback, a me guy. I get real iffy with that because I feel an undertone with that. So I don't want him here for that purpose. And granted, like I know like Chase didn't pan out well here, but the way that people turned on the hometown kid kind of blew me, like how they turned on Chase. It was like, all right, we don't like you. You suck, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, he a hometown kid. He had a good rookie year. Yeah. And all he got hurt. And it just didn't turn out the way you wanted to turn out. And now he a bum. You know what I'm saying? I'm not saying like he's played well this year, even in San Fran, but I'm saying like y'all turned on him like real quick, like really quick. So the same thing with Caleb. Like I don't want because my thing is rookie quarterbacks, because there's people who've been negative on Caleb here that are from here.
Oh, yeah.
And rookie quarterbacks in general struggle.
Yeah.
Like everybody ain't CJ Stroud. That doesn't happen. Like I said, Jared Goff struggled with the Rams in year one. And people thought he was done. Josh Allen, that everybody loves, everybody thought Josh Allen after his rookie was one of the worst quarterbacks ever. And loves Josh Allen now.
Yeah.
So, like, I just know, like, Bryce Young is an example now that people are kind of, you know, like, he ain't that good. But let time – I'm always like, let time determine that. Don't rush it. So, Caleb, he comes here – one, if he struggles, which happens with rookie quarterbacks, and two, being a hometown kid and people on the radio, maybe they made the wrong decision. Maybe they should have got so and so. Maybe it's like they're going to mess. It's going to mess with his head because he's local, and I don't want that hit for him here. So I do think it's kind of it'd be good to have. I mean, I'm a Drake May dude because I'm a believer in.
Yeah.
I'm a Caleb dude one, but I'm a Drake May dude second. Mm-hmm. Only reason I feel like I know why people like Jaden Daniels, I get it. Like, I'm not knocking it. I'm a believer in if you've been that dude your whole because just like Caleb, Drake has been that dude from the rip. What I mean by that is from 12 on from 7-on-7, from like being recruited, like he could have went to Alabama. He chose North Carolina because of his family. It wasn't anything to do, like he was going to go to Alabama.
Yeah,
he's one of the top rated quarterbacks coming out of high school. Same for Caleb. And they got pretty much the reason why Sam Howell out of there is because Caleb, because Derek May, they want me Drake May because they want Drake May in there ASAP.
Oh yeah.
So Drake has been good with limited talent compared to them other quarterbacks. You know what I'm saying? His last year, he ain't really had nobody. Like, and he still put up numbers. You know what I'm saying? And so it's not like LSU. When you're LSU, you have a day one draft. Well, like you have a draft pick in the first, second round in that wide receiver for LSU. Even in terms of USC, they got talented wide receivers, but I mean, Caleb has always been the dude. Caleb was the dude in Oklahoma. He started as a true freshman. He's put up numbers in USC. Last year was an off year, but still put up numbers. If it was an off year, that was a hell of an off season, off year. It's similar to, like, I think people forget, like, Peyton Manning's last year wasn't great. His best year, his college.
Oh, career. Lord. His arm was gone.
But his last year in college wasn't his best year.
Oh, yeah.
Year in college, like, the year that Charles Woodson got the Heisman, Peyton was thorough the years before, because Peyton had that Heisman talk like that. The Heisman was supposed to be Peyton's year. His last year was supposed to be his Heisman. His year wasn't his best year. You know what I'm saying? He wasn't the Peyton of last year, right? That's how Charles Woodson got the Heisman, for real. To be real, we keep the buck. So it's like that happened. So I'm just comparing to Caleb. Caleb's last year wasn't his best year, but okay, it wasn't his best year, but it still was an awesome year for most. Freaking Jaden Daniels had that year, we'd be talking about Jaden Daniels as one of them. So it doesn't really matter. Like, to me, Caleb has always been like that guy. That's why if he slipped, I would run to the podium for Caleb Williams.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Oh, that's what dude was arguing. I now remember he was arguing with me about Caleb Williams and Sam Howell and stuff like that. Like, he was talking about, I was saying that Caleb deserved, man, this dumbass, I tell you, bro.
You got a little trolls, man. I'm trying to tell you, man.
Now I remember, it was about Caleb Williams and the quarterback. And I was bringing up, dumbass folks, man.
You know what's crazy, man, is that it's 2024 and people are still calling Lamar Jackson an athlete. Like, he's a quarterback.
He's a quarterback.
He has proven that.
Yeah, he's proven, man. Like, I was one of them. I was one of them. When he got drafted, I was like, yeah. Like, I like Lamar. I wanted him to stay one more year. I think that's what it was. I think I wanted him to stay.
Yeah, same.
He came out. I wanted him to stay. But Lamar was good, bro. Like, Lamar was good. And Lamar's gotten better. Lamar has grown on me as a quarterback. I ain't going to hold you. He's grown on me thoroughly. So, I'm with you. Lamar's proved himself. He got nothing to worry about. He's proved himself. Lamar
MVP. He's not going to be a Super Bowl. Let's be real. Yeah. Like, so I don't get it, man. You know, but the thing about this draft, this is a really good draft, man, because that kid out of Washington ain't too shabby. I know the injury history and the age, but
I mean, I'm glad he got exposed by my Michigan Wolverine.
You definitely got exposed, but I mean, they got a lot of depth, man. I mean, you could go a lot of different directions.
I agree. I feel like that's my thing about Washington. Like, that's why it's important. I feel like if you're Adam Peters, right? Because I do. Mm-hmm. All right, this is the thing. We talked about it briefly about Sam Howell. You had the question with Lake about Sam Howell, and I'll say this. I think, all right, if you get Bobby Slowick, I think you can make Sam Howell still be your starting quarterback.
Absolutely.
I could honestly say, I'll go one further. I think if you get Ben Johnson, you can have Sam Howell be your starting quarterback.
I think so too. Absolutely.
I think either of those two, you still can have him be your starting quarterback. I think you can still go, and you can go left tackle and be okay. If you can get a quarterback in the second round, I think it'd be fine. I feel like with Sam Howell, if you get a quarterback, it kind of reminds me, because again, I think we give them on quarterbacks too soon. I'll give you a prime example. When the Chargers drafted LaDainian Tomlinson and Drew Brees the same year, Drew Brees started that year.
Yeah.
Drew Brees ended the season, they had a bad record. You know what I'm saying? They had a bad record. And Drew wasn't shout about, but you saw something, but it was something, wasn't something to cry, like, to be all Drew Brees is. You know, Drew Brees is still, you know, he's a solid quarterback. But they ended up with a low pick. And who did they draft? There was the talks of, like, do you need him? You got Drew Brees. You just drafted Drew Brees in the second round. And he's the guy that you kind of want to make your starting quarterback. He said, screw that.
I mean, Drew Brees, I mean, you saw him coming out of Purdue, man.
He could throw the ball. You saw it, right?
Yeah.
But if you look at size, you would say to Sam Howell, because it's comparable, like, to a Drew Brees. And no, I'm talking about in build, arm, like, right?
Absolutely.
You didn't make the argument that Sam Howell's arm is bigger than Drew Brees, right?
Yeah.
You didn't make that argument.
So, I mean, he's got things to work on, man. Yeah. My bad. He's got things to work on. I mean, obviously, the release has to get faster.
Yeah.
The progressions, the reads have to get faster. Yeah, but, I mean, he's not trash. I mean,
no.
I mean, if you see some of the throws he made in the first half of the year.
Oh, my God.
Denver.
It was amazing. Seattle, that throw to Deion.
Absolutely. Now,
they're clutch. Those are throws that even the Eagles game in Philly, he's making big time throws.
Yeah.
The touchdown pass to to Jahan to take it to overtime. Like, yeah. When they decided not to go for two. Like, I mean, he made big – look, I think we all, as Commander fans, we have revisionist history. We forget about certain things. Yeah. Like, so it's like, oh, like he was trash the whole year. But there were some plays where you had to sit back and say, damn, he made that throw. Like, you know what I'm saying? And as a rookie, that's what happens when your first year as a starter. Like, yo, the defense catch up. So now you got to adjust. They caught up. He never had a chance. He couldn't adjust. He didn't adjust. But that's what you're young. That's what happens.
Yeah.
So like, and like I said, like they're putting in a situation to what San Diego San Diego Chargers, when they dropped Phillip Rivers, they were like, all right, Eli didn't want to come to San Diego. That's what Eli didn't want to come to San Diego. He wanted to go to New York. But you had Phillip, and Phillip was that dude in NC State. He was beating Florida State. And if you remember that, them Florida State defenses back then was real. So like the Chargers felt like they couldn't pass up on Phillip Rivers. They felt like he was the next Dan Marino, right? That's who he was compared to, the next Dan Marino. Yeah. So it's just like, it's similar. Like to me, it's similar. It's like, all right, you got Sam Howell, who showed you that he could play in the NFL, but you still got question marks. But now you got guys who are generational, like you feel like, Well, Caleb's generational talent. I think Drake May could be the next Herbert. I really do. I think he'd be the next Herbert.
I totally agree.
I think he'd be the next
Harrison too. Absolutely.
I think he'd be the next Herbert. And I don't know if you want to pass on that. That's my thing. I don't know if you want to pass on that. And I think Daniels is a – I know people like him. I just think he's got – all right, so skill set prospect, well, he's probably like a high-end prospect, right? He's like the best if he hits. If he hits, he's like the best, right? I do think he could be or second. Or I think Caleb is all world. So I'm going to say, like, if he hits, he's the second best quarterback. Because I still think Caleb is all world.
Yeah, I agree.
All right. So I think if he hits. But if he misses, he can miss bad. Like, that's what I look at Jaden. Like, Jaden could be really, really bad. I think Jaden's bad is worse. And I know people is bad. It's worse than Drake May. Yeah. I think Drake May, you're going to see with better talent around him how good he throws that football. And he don't hold it like I mean, Sam holds it, but when you're taller, you can see, and Sam holds it because he's shorter too. So Drake May is tall, so he can see over, and he can see better. Like he don't have to like navigate through the line to find somebody because you know the line is too tall or too big for what Sam Howell needs to do. So I do think that with Drake May, it'll be a little easier because of his physical ability with his height, build, stature. So I think he'll be fine. I think again, it's all about where these dudes get drafted and if Washington selects them, who is the coach? They got to pick the right coach for that player's skill set. You know what I'm saying? Like,
I got a comparison for you, and I know it's not gonna be the most popular name because he used to be a Commander, but early in his career, Carson Wentz, man, people forget before that injury.
Yeah,
Carson, man, taller quarterback, strong.
He was a dog, man.
He reminds me a lot of him, man. Yeah, a lot of him.
Drake, man.
Absolutely.
Carson was a dog. Carson before that injury was an MVP candidate. He was going to. I mean, what's that? Took a Super Bowl.
Foles.
Yeah, Nick. He stole the Super Bowl. He stole that that year. He stole the Super Bowl.
Yeah, he did.
That dude was That Carson was amazing. He stole Carson's Super Bowl that year. That year, he stole Carson's Super Bowl. So, I agree with that. But again, it's like you just got to be the right – it's got to be the right system. Like, Jaden Daniels would be pretty good. Like, Jaden Daniels would be pretty good with Bobby Slowick. I am not going to say that – I'll say this much. I haven't seen Ben Johnson with the Jaden Daniels type quarterback. So,
That's true.
That I don't know. So I haven't seen him, but I have seen in terms of a Shanahan system, I have seen a mobile quarterback within that system. So you can make the argument like, all right, Jaden Daniels could be good because of RG3, right? You can make that argument because I've seen that type of quarterback in the Shanahan system. You know what I'm saying? So there are things in that system where you can say, all right, he could probably be good in this system. But also I've seen what a pocket quarterback can do in that system. And because C.J. Stroud's a pocket quarterback, and a pocket quarterback is good in that system. You know what I'm saying? So only time will tell. But hopefully, again, Washington chooses right. But in terms of your quarterback, if they select – all right, you would say Jaden Daniels It doesn't matter on who the coach is for you.
I mean, I like Jaden Daniels, man, but I'm with you. I lean towards May.
If so he's available, lean towards, okay.
Yeah, I lean towards May. Like,
okay,
I like Jaden Daniels. Like I said, I watched him at Arizona State before he transferred. So he's always he's got to add a little weight because with his frame,
small.
Man,
he is small.
Look in the NFL, man,
that matters for a quarterback. That does matter.
Your linebackers and defensive ends are running 40
the same
times.
Same as you.
So they're hitting you hard, man. Yeah. So that kind of concerned me because that's what concerned me about Emmanuel Forbes. Like, well, like I said, I ain't trying to go back into history, man. But I was a Christian Gonzalez guy, honestly.
I was a Christian Gonzalez. So no, I know I was. I was a Porter guy.
Absolutely.
I was a Porter
guy.
I wanted Porter over everybody. I'm on that. I did. But go ahead.
I mean, it's just his frame. I mean, you got the rigors of the NFL, man. It's different than college.
Yeah.
Because college, you're playing your conference guys, but then your first three games, you're playing scrubs, man. So you have an opportunity to kind of work your body weight, you know, up to that competition, man. You're playing, no disrespect, but like, you know, Old Dominion University, which is not, you know, I'm an Old Dominion guy. I mean, let's be real, like, no disrespect. I just had to use somebody, man.
Yeah, but, I got you.
But I mean, it is what it is. We're in the NFL, week one, you in it. You know, and you got 17 games, man. I mean, so just the rigors of it. You know, Emmanuel Forbes is way too small, man. I mean, if you see him, he's barely bringing guys down, man. I mean, if you look at him against A.J. Brown, it's like he should have went against Devontae Smith. I know this is a whole other conversation.
No, you're right. No, you're right. I said this, though. See, this is the thing. Again, whoever you bring in, so this is my thing. I think Emmanuel Forbes will be a Pro Bowl corner down the road. I think that the coaching staff, they do this all the time, though. Like, I don't even know why. They do this all the time. They don't use the players to what they do the best. Like, he is a ball hawk corner.
Yeah.
I mean, he drops some, but that's what he is.
Yep.
Use him the best of his ability. Also, he's a rookie. He's small. You just said it. Do not put him on A.J. Brown. That is a bad matchup regardless. Yeah. That's like me putting a 5'7" corner on Randy Moss. It makes no sense.
No sense.
One on one. I'm talking about one on one too.
No sense.
You know what I'm saying? Like if I put a Megatron one on one, no help. What do you think's gonna happen? Just use your imagination. So you put him one on one with AJ Brown, which big size corners can't put down.
Yeah,
I put him on him, one on one. What do you think's going to happen? He's going to get bullied. That's just what happens. So like that's on the coaching staff and not. If you're gonna put him on AJ Brown, then shade coverage on him. Like coverage on that side to give him help. Or like you just said, put him on Smith. Devontae Smith is a better matchup. Both frames are the same. Both small dudes. Emmanuel Forbes is fast. So he should be able to be around, like, right? Should be around him. So, yeah, I agree. Like, I just think the coaching, the defensive coach, like Lake said, everything should be better. And you said, everything should be better than what they dealt with last season. And not just players, it's coaching. Coaching should be better. So that's my thing. If you're an offensive dude coming to be the head coach, like, it is paramount that you bring in a DC that is going to improve this defense, because this defense, yes, you're going to have to get some, like you said, get a middle linebacker, but this defense to me has still core guys for you to still be a good, like at first, we had Chase, Montez, you know, Allen, Payne, whatever. That defense to me should have been like a top five defense. I don't give a fuck, whatever. defense.
Absolutely.
Like, but now, all right, it may not be a top five defense. It could be, but it may not unless you make the right signs and draft right. It could still be a top five defense because I still think the interior is still going to be, it should be mean. I think Payne, a lot of the talk about Payne guy getting his money ain't play right. Folks, people hear this. If you're a competitor, you hear this. Jonathan Allen, a healthy year, he'll be better. You get a linebacker, you get defensive ends, you get a corner, you get another corner because you're gonna lose Kendall Fuller, so that's that money off the books. So I'm with you. I do think like the defense could be Emmanuel Forbes another year. Maybe eats, you know, he eats a lot. Hopefully he eats a lot, like a lot.
Right.
I give some carbs, man. We get some rice, like piles of rice, man, put on weight. But like all I'm saying, like, so you do that, but they got to get that defensive minded coach, like head coach. I mean, not head coach. If you're a defensive, if you're offensive court, offensive minded head coach, get a defensive coordinator.
Yep.
Who gonna do it? Like, you gotta give them who gonna do it. And I feel like not a guy you wishing on a star. I feel like if you're gonna be a this is my thing. If you're a young OC, I mean, a young offensive minded head coach, I'm almost inclined for you to get an experienced, awesome defensive coordinator.
Absolutely.
I'm almost in line to say that. Like a Wink Martindale, like, be somebody I think they should probably try to target. Because Wink was, you know, I thought Wink did wonders with the Giants with that bat with some of the players he had missing. And he
hey, man, who knows? 1 year deal, Brian Flores.
Oh, I would love Brian Flores, man. I would love Brian Flores as my head coach. I ain't gonna hold you. I love Brian Flores. He can be my head coach. But these soft players wouldn't like him because they always complain about being coach hard. So I don't even like I have a problem with these players. Like, I complain about EB.
But that's a whole generation thing, and that's a whole other conversation.
Nah, these dudes soft. They don't like champ. They don't look. I'm like, yes, true. This is a generational thing. That's true. But I'm like, also, I'm like, man, Kansas City dealt with him, and they won Super Bowls. Y'all need to stop this crap. Like, y'all ain't win. Y'all win top. Top 15 picks, if that, and I'm being nice by saying top 15. Really, y'all win top 10 picks. We like stop it. You're not winning trophies.
The issue with that, with EB and the players complaining, and here's the issue. Why are they going to the head coach about that? Yeah, it's coaching because
I agree.
Look, children are the example of the parent, right?
True.
And the players are the emulation of the coaching.
Yeah, I agree.
Why would you feel comfortable enough to go past the coordinator, not have that conversation with him first? And go to Ron. See, there's a difference between being a player's coach.
I agree, bro.
And letting the players run the locker room. And they ran the locker room, man. Because if it was me, Chase, no, you need to come with the team, or you ain't gonna be on the team. Like,
you need to be hard-nosed,
man. And I like Chase, man, but he never put his stamp on his locker room, and that's why this went the way it was. Him being a GM. I mean, you drafting Jamin Davis, knowing he was a second round talent. Because here's the thing, man, it's first round pick. Yeah. That guy is. He needs to come in and contribute right away.
Facts. I agree.
We should not develop a first-round pick.
I agree.
Jamin Davis, I think he can eventually be something.
Yeah.
But you had to develop the guy. I mean, Emmanuel Forbes. Yeah, I think that Forbes down the line, put him on the other side. You know, definitely go get a lockdown. Get a guy where you can say, go guard the best receiver on the team. Yeah. And let Forbes take the pressure off, and I think he would do well.
Yeah.
But – It's all about you. We got to win through the draft, man. You know, Ron Rivera and his GM skills was trash. The fact that he just let the players do whatever they want. And you can say the same about Wes Unseld Jr. You cannot be a player's coach to the point where you let them run the locker room. The locker room is your domain. You control that. You are the king of the locker room. You know, and looking at the defensive side of the ball, you are 100% on cue, man. Get a guy who's a dog as a coach. Yeah. Who's going to rile these guys up, come through the tunnel ready to knock somebody out. I mean, because that was a mentality when we were coming up. Yo, when we were playing high school ball, you would try to knock somebody out. That was the mentality. You would try to go out there and be pretty and try to get an interception and dance. Yo, I'm trying to knock somebody out.
That's why I want Greg Williams back, man. I want bounties, man. I ain't gonna hold you. I want bounties, man. I want bounties, man. Look, man, you can't put me in cancel culture. You can cancel me. I want bounties, man. That's what I want. I want bounties, bro. Like, that's what I'm saying. Everybody, like, you want Greg? Yeah. He put bounties on folks. That's what I want. I want bounties. I want people to play for something. Like, I want somebody, like you said, knock people out. Like, I want to be out. I'm sick of being doormats on defense. I'm serious.
Yeah,
like,
this is the thing. Absolutely.
I had Bashard Breeland, and this is why I knew the season was in jeopardy. Because we had Breeland the first game of the season when they played Arizona, like in the post game, they beat Arizona. And Breeland was like, I was like, I was telling Ray, I was like, I don't like this defense. It's like, it's too soft. Arizona trash. They're playing with Dobbs. Dobbs is able to move the football. Yeah, they didn't score that much. They were moving the football. Yeah. Like, they shouldn't have done nothing. This dude barely played with these dudes, and he's doing all right. And then Breeland was like, I like y'all defense. But they was like moving the ball. He was like, it's a bend but don't break defense. Like, bro, I don't like that term. I told him quickly, like, I don't like that term.
Yeah.
Like, bend but don't break defense with this talent. He's like, I mean, that's the way they coach. And you could tell it was a bend but don't break. I was like, with this though, Bree, like, you got four defensive, first round quality dudes. And it's a bend but don't break. He was like, I mean, mean, that's the way he coached. I was like, man, bro, this team was gonna be trash.
I mean, I knew it was gonna be Seattle. Seattle and Baltimore's defenses came from the coach down. It was a mentality, man. It's
mentality, yes.
You going to war. You need to be ready to roll. You know what I mean? Yes. Like, none of this, you know, and it's definitely a mentality thing. And so I think that the light is definitely at the end of the tunnel for Commanders, but you have to get guys in the coaching room who have that mentality, man. Because if you have a passive mentality, the defense is not going to evolve. You have to go out there and defend at a high level. Because, again, you had four first rounders on your defensive line. I mean, there's no reason why we should not have been a top five defense.
That's what I'm saying.
Too much talent, man.
Too much talent. And you had Cam Curl. It's just so much. So just like but they coach that way and they don't tackle. I feel like that's a problem for me too. Like I'm a big believer. You could tell how a defense is going to be if you watch them hard in preseason. You just gotta watch them.
Yeah.
Because if they're flying to football and they tackling strong, but tackling strong and flying to football translates in the regular season. You can't tell, like, shutting teams down. You can't tell in preseason. But that's different to, like, flying to football and, like, tackling strong, like, playing with aggression that translate. Because I remember when I watched I watched Greg in preseason for the first year one. I mean, year one, we weren't a good team, but our defense was, like, the top three. But at preseason, he was flying. People were just smacking people. I was like, damn, this is – because the year before, we had, like, one of the worst defenses before Greg got here. Yeah. And, like, I watched it. I was like – oh wow, like they fly. Like he blitzing preseason. Who do this? Who blitzing preseason? I'm watching them. I was like, oh, okay. Then I watched like the first game of the season. That's when Clinton Portis had that long run. Against Tampa. I believe it was Tampa. And against Tampa. And like, but the defense was just like smacking folks. They were just smacking folks the whole year. And I was like, good God, like this is the defense. I haven't seen a defense smack anybody like that. With Del Rio. Year one, when they were top five that year. Yeah, during COVID, they were top five. With Chase, I think it's top five. But they were good statistically, but they weren't like smacking people. Like they weren't like.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah.
Straight out really just stopping people. You know what I'm saying? Like they were good, but they weren't like thorough. Like for your top three defense, you'd be like, I'm scared of that defense. Like I'm really scared of that defense.
Oh man, people are terrified to go against Ray Lewis. Yeah, terrified. Exactly. Ed Reed, you were not going across the middle on that defense.
Yeah, exactly. So it's different. Like I just felt like we haven't even with, and that's why I feel like this. That's one of the people want to talk about certain things about this Rivera regime. I just feel like it's the travesty of what this defense should have been.
Yeah,
and it didn't really forget the offense, right? Because you didn't whatever your quarterback. That's how you because you never really took care of the offense for real because you never really handled the quarterback situation correctly. But the defense is something that, in terms of personnel, like you handled it correctly in terms of who you brought in my opinion. Other than like you're right, Jamin Davis and whatever, like you should have, you know, had it brought in. You should have taken a linebacker situation. That's the only thing I felt like he really neglected, like a G. He truly neglected linebacker. Like I don't even get why.
Yeah,
like a linebacker.
And I agree on Kyle Hamilton, man. That was my guy in the draft.
I wanted Kyle Hamilton like bad. Absolutely. I wanted, but everybody tried to like. They try to shit on me for wanting Kyle Hamilton. They were like, oh, he's 40 times as slow. Did y'all watch him in Notre Dame? I don't care. Look, that's the thing about, and before we close the show out, that's the one thing I, like in the draft, I hate this, the draft process I don't like. People overanalyze certain things about the draft. Like,
oh, yeah.
So absolutely. For me, I want to see how consistent you've been in Saturdays throughout your body of work. I don't like one-year dudes who just put it on tape. For 1 year, now everybody like, oh, they got skills and they got the physical attributes. They should be like a top pick. I'm all about what you do. Year one, year two, year three. And then just like a job interview, like if I see your experience and your body work through your experience, and then on the combine, if it matches what I saw on Saturdays, then I'm like, shoot, you him. Like automatically, I'm thinking you're a first rounder. Now, if your combine is some trash, like it ain't great, but what you did on film was real, real good. Yeah, I may dock you a little bit, but I'm not going to dock you heavily. Like, because I know how – if you were really, really that good – like, for instance, prime example. All right, if Marvin Harrison Jr. ran like a 4.5, I'm not penalizing him that thoroughly.
No, not at all.
Because I've seen Marvin enough to know that Marvin can get busy on anybody.
Oh, absolutely. You know route running. The
route running, footwork. Everything. Yeah. Footwork. So I don't need to, like – Yeah, you want him to run a 4-4, 4-3. Yeah, you want to run a 4-4 for real. You want to run a 4-4. But if he run like a 4-5, 4-6, I ain't going to be like, damn, like, I can't get Marvin. Yeah. Nah, I know Marvin did. Marvin's body of work since a freshman, since he started Ohio State, played like got time, was like that.
Oh,
you
yeah,
know what I'm saying? Absolutely. So, like, that's my thing. So, for me, when I, so I, but I think people overanalyze it. Like Caleb had a so-so year in his last year. So-so, but still, like, one of the better years in college football for a quarterback. But people are trying to use that year to hate on Caleb. Body yeah. of work, though. You get what I'm saying? Like, you were the top recruit. Go, you went to Oklahoma, started as a true freshman, put up numbers yep. as a true freshman, transferred OUSC, was out there doing big work. They called you the next Patrick Mahomes, final year. You didn't do like you didn't have a great year. Now people throw out, well, he didn't play good against top 10 teams and this, that, and the other. Yeah, the whole team didn't play good against top 10.
Exactly.
Relax. So like when y'all do that, y'all gotta chill and like relax. All right, you again, the body of work is showing you that he's been this guy throughout. All right, same like I said for Drake May. He's in North Carolina. Some people like he don't play with the same dudes that you play with. Like yeah. his body of work. Going against teams with a lot of talent shows you that he is one of them. Again, also the pedigree, highly touted, one of the top quarterback, one of the top quarterbacks coming into college, and he produced body of work. I'm cool with that. Now, if his combine matches, if those two dudes combine matches what we seen on Saturdays, that would be like they're probably the first two quarterbacks that should be selected.
You know oh, yeah, absolutely.
You know, and they did it in a short time frame. They're not getting an extra year, they're not playing. They've done theirs in the adequate college years, like 3 years. They're not doing 6 years, 5 years.
Yeah.
You know, get awarded one. They're doing it in the right time frame, right? You know what I'm saying? Right. So, and the other quarterbacks, and some of these quarterbacks we talk about, they get an extra year. They're getting this, the COVID year. They're doing this, that, and the other, a red shirt year from injury. Yeah. So it's just different. Like, it's different. That's why I'm like, we can't overthink or overanalyze it. Like, you see this dude play on Saturdays? Was he that dude? Yeah, he was that dude. Was he highly exactly. recruited? He was highly recruited. So has he panned out? He's panned out. All right, he's got to be one of them.
Absolutely. That's all I got. I agree 100, man. Yeah. I agree 100.
So, but anyway, this has been dope, man. Hey, Brandon, thanks for being on, man. Before I let you go, before we end the show, how can folks catch you on social media?
Oh, I am on X, Twitter, Brandon_7Scott. So I definitely doing Wizards content over at Locked yeah. on Wizards on YouTube and wherever you get your podcasts, definitely watching Football Maniacs. Contribute on Bleacher Report, and I got media credentials with the Washington Wizards, so I'm definitely up there. Definitely rolling up there asking questions, man. Trying to get some content, man. So
I should be. I'm thinking about going Wednesday. I'm not sure. Wednesday and Friday. I don't be there Friday.
I'll be there for the Cavs game next month.
Next month? That's a Friday game. Is that the Friday game?
Yeah. Oh, I think that the Friday game is Miami. I'm thinking of going to that one too.
Yeah, the Friday's Miami. What's the Wednesday game? It's a Wednesday game. I know
it's Wednesday. Game. I think it's the Cavs. Yeah,
or Wednesday's the Cavs game.
I'm trying to think, man. I have to double check.
Yeah, I know there's two games. I know there's a Miami game. Is the Miami game? I don't know which day. I know Miami game. I think Miami game is the Friday game. I think you're right, actually.
Yeah, yeah, the Heat's game Friday. Because I wanted to go to last year to the Heat game, man. I'm supposed to go to. I went to the Spurs game. I was supposed to go to the T-Wolves game, man. But I had to mess around, mess my back up, man. I had to watch it from the house. I'm just now getting back to 100%, man. So.
Oh man, I'm glad you're doing well, man. I ain't gonna lie. The game I wanted to go to, but I was in Nigeria because I planned it. But I'm gonna try in the East. So I'm gonna catch him again. It's funny. I did want to go to the Detroit game. I don't know. Like I want to see. I want to ask Monty. He local. I wanted to go ahead and try to rap with Monty about certain things. I wasn't gonna talk about Wiseman. I wasn't gonna put him on blast on Wiseman. I didn't want to do that. We also talk about being a local product. That's the game I really wanted to kind of go to with the Detroit game. But the Miami game I'm gonna try to go to. But I don't have an edge for Miami. I don't have an angle for Miami. But I'll be there. Yeah, I won't care about the Heat. I won't really care about. I mean, I'm pretty. There are games that I book it. Like, I'm just going to talk about. I'm just worried about the Wizards. Miami will be just the Wizards. I won't lie to you. It'll be just the Wizards. If I do, I ain't gonna lie. If I do go to Miami, I ain't gonna lie. If I do the Miami game, if Bam Adebayo is on the panel, because they select whoever they bring to the media room if they for the yeah. Wizards. I will ask him, like, did he think about playing for the Nigerian Olympic team? Because he's playing for USA. I want to kind of
that's
ask
a
that
good question. Question
that's a question know, I want to ask him.
You let me know. We'll link up, man.
We'll link up. We'll link up. That's the question I do want to ask him. He is one dude I want to ask him.
Oh,
I want to ask that question too. I want to ask him because he's playing for team. Well, he's trying to play for Team USA. I would ask him, like, did you think about when you made your decision? Did you think about playing for the Nigerian Olympic team? So I want to ask him that. Like, I want to ask him.
That's
that.
A good question, man.
Yeah, because that does piss me off. I ain't gonna lie to you. That does piss me off. But hey, also tell folks about your make sure you put all your information, like stuff about the pod, your like it's your show being on YouTube and everything. I don't think you
said yes, sir. Locked On Wizards and Washington Football Maniacs are both on YouTube. My co-host on Locked On Wizards, my man, the real Oliver. Definitely check him out on Twitter, man. That's my dude. Washington Football Maniac, Drake Sykes, my co-host, man. So definitely rock with him on social media, man. We have a lot of fun, man. Awesome. So yeah,
I like to hear. Also, hey, subscribe to our podcast on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, TuneIn, iHeart, and iHeartRadio. Just search the Urban Sports Team. Also, follow us on X at Urban Sports Team, IG at Urban Sports Team, and like our Urban Sports Team Facebook page. If you're watching this on YouTube, make sure you subscribe to our YouTube channel as well. Thank you all for tuning in. Appreciate Brandon, for joining as a special co-host. He was dope. Brandon, we're gonna have you on again. We'll talk about maybe I'll have you on for double duty. I may have you on for Wizards and Commanders. For
hey, man, you already show. Know. Let me know, man.
You already know. Anyway, appreciate Brandon for being on. Appreciate Lake too as well. Anyway, you've been listening to the Urban Sports Scene for ages. Yadig Deuces. Hey, Mega, lead us out, big homie.